Hi, my name is Laura.
And I'm Outi, and this is Wow What an Impact podcast.
In today's special episode on Wow What an Impact podcast, we will be talking about open science and how to make science more tangible for broader audiences.
Our guest today is researcher Thijs Fackel from Erasmus University Rotterdam. Thank you for joining us today, and could you shortly introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you for having me, and thank you for switching to English for me. I arrived in Finland yesterday, and so far I've only learned two words, ulos, to exit Helsinki Airport, and aamiainen, when I was enjoying my breakfast this morning. So my name is Thijs. I'm currently a postdoc at the SYNC Lab at Erasmus University Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And in my research, I try to understand why certain adolescents eventually attain a higher socioeconomic status than their parents, and why other adolescents attain a lower or similar socioeconomic status as their parents. And I focus specifically on psychosocial competencies as potential mediators or moderators of this intergenerational SES transmission. But I also regularly fan out to other important social inequality issues for youth. So my colleagues and I just got new data on what adolescents believe are the causes of poverty, which I will start analyzing soon. So that's pretty exciting. Mm.
Sounds really exciting research that you are doing. And in this podcast series, we aim to understand the different aspects of impact. And now we would like to begin by asking how you would define impact and what it means to you.
Yeah, to me, research impact means trying to resolve issues in young people's day-to-day lives. So, for example, by providing insights into which behaviors or cognitions and feelings are helpful to do well in school, have positive social relations, or to positively deal with the climate crisis, for example, to provide like small but specific action points for large but abstract challenges, I think is super cool and at the core of research impact, especially as social scientists. I think that is where our potential can really stand out. But for this type of research impact, I think the input from young people is really indispensable.
How do you find in social sciences? We have talked in this podcast series before that it's really hard to measure impact. How do you find this?
Yes, that's a great point. I think almost every researcher has their own definition of research impact, me included. And that's not necessarily good or bad, but I think I agree that it's it becomes quite difficult to measure high quality, impactful research. I think that's what I'm trying to say with that the input from young people is really indispensable. So when we talk about research impact, I would be most curious to hear what the definition would be of the population of interest that I'm studying, that we are studying, and in my case, that are young people. So I would be really curious to hear, depending on the topics that we study, what young people would define as impactful research.
The other thing that we will be focusing in this episode is open science. How do you define open science, and what are the most important elements of open science from your point of view?
Yeah, when I take it a bit literally, open science to me means the opposite of closed science. And for the majority of people, science has always been a closed, exclusive, mysterious industry. It may be hard to imagine, but many people don't personally know a scientist from their own social network. So scientists are sometimes perceived as hermits that lock themselves up in their universities to come out after some years to share some brilliant new insights, often in a language that the majority of people don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But thanks to open science and public engagement initiatives, we have so many wonderful TV shows, radio shows, podcasts like this one, right? Theater shows, festivals that all introduce science in a very accessible and understandable manner to a broader audience. So yeah, I think scientific knowledge has never been so accessible to such a large proportion of the world population. And I think that's an amazing open science achievement.
Yeah. And what do you think, what kinds of practices could be used to enhance openness in research, like a really practical point of view?
Yeah, so despite all progress that has followed from open science initiatives and technological advancements, certain groups of people are still not really getting involved in our research practices. So I think science can be opened up even further if we give a little bit more priority to sustainable participant recruitment and retention practices. And with sustainable, I mean creating circumstances under which more people from all sorts of backgrounds feel comfortable committing to long-term research participation. So first, I think it would be really helpful if we systematically started tracking reasons for non-inclusion and attrition. So in many studies, in the Netherlands at least, we, for example, see that older boys from a lower socioeconomic background are the hardest for us to include and to retain. But do we know why? What are their obstacles for sustainable research participation? Does it have to do with characteristics of our study? Is it due to unmeasured factors in their day-to-day lives that we are completely blind to? Does it have to do with our outcome variable of interest, maybe? If questionnaires are, for example, too long, then those adolescents with attention difficulties, they may not make it to the end. And we get a huge bias in our conclusions regarding attention skills in adolescents, I'm afraid. So if we start to systematically track these reasons, we can more accurately control for it statistically, but more importantly, work towards opening up research participation. Another more novel suggestion that I have is to rebalance participant reimbursement more in line with supply and demand. So if at some point during our recruitment, adolescents with a high socioeconomic status are overrepresented in our sample, and adolescents with a low socioeconomic status are underrepresented, then it may be helpful to say, hey, let's lower the reimbursement for the next adolescent whose combination of demographics we already have more than enough of, and use this to raise the reimbursement for adolescents whose combination of demographics is still underrepresented in our study. This supply and demand-based reimbursement may contribute to a better balanced sample without needing more funding.
How is open science? Is it sort of something that you get support from your university? Do you have some kind of sort of processes or instructions?
Yes, I think the idea of open science is really warmly embraced by my university and I think most universities in the Netherlands. At the same time, I also feel like sometimes there will be more opportunities to really, really facilitate it, to create a space, time, provide additional resources to make it happen. For example, all of my studies I have pre-registered, and I've put in a fair amount of time and efforts to make this openly accessible. But then at the same time, there are always departments or demands from different departments at the university to also share your manuscript and your data and your syntax there. So even though I make everything open science available, there are still different parties that want exclusive access, which is sounds a bit contradicting in my opinion.
You're also interested in citizen science. Could you explain a little what does that mean?
The key to citizen science is to not only use citizens for the data that they can provide, but to engage them along each step of the research process. So adolescents have very strong desire to contribute to society. So why not involve young people in thinking about the next research questions, choosing measuring instruments, developing data collection strategies, and also to help interpret main findings and conclusions. In this way, adolescents and young adults can become co-creators instead of passive data providers, basically.
You already touched upon the importance of the involved regular citizens to the science. What kind of, have you already noticed that there is some impacts or this kind of benefits that have already come up when you have done this?
Yes, quite a few, I think. And I've been trying to understand why this has been so so helpful to me and to the teams that I've worked in. And it makes a lot of sense if I think about it. So young people and their families, they are the experts on the topics that we study, right? That's why we ask them to provide us with data, because their knowledge and experiences hold crucial answers for us. And young people are also super creative, out-of-the-box thinkers. So their potential for helping science move forward is enormous. And the fact that they are not scientists can actually be a great advantage, I would say. Because to a large extent, academia consists of a rather homogeneous group of people, you could say. Per definition, everyone is very highly educated and also per definition trained to think in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that's great, and it works well in many cases, of course. But we may also have collective blind spots and biases through which we interpret the experiences of the people we study, who have very different experiences and ways of interacting with society. Mm. So allowing young people to shape our research processes can be very refreshing and insightful. And one particular reason I like a lot when it comes to involving young people in shaping our research is that I think that it's a great way to restore the balance between those who study and those who are studied, mm-hmm. And those who ask and those who have to answer, mm-hmm. and those who decide and those who are decided about. So in a sense, citizen science and participatory science and co-creation make research more democratic. Mm.
Could you maybe give a few examples how you have in your own research successfully involved different actors as contributors or collaborators?
Oh yes, there are many wonderful examples. So I'll just share some of the coolest experiences that I've had. So a few years ago, some fellow PhD students and me visited local libraries in Utrecht to ask citizens what they believe are the most pressing issues in society that require scientific research. And in that outreach event, we really sought unique perspectives and firsthand input from citizens at the very start of the research cycle. So we really involved people in brainstorming about what would be the next major research topic for us. So I thought that was really cool. We got some really sweet input, mostly from the children and the adolescents and a little bit from their parents also. Some questions, for example, were why do some people cheat during games? Or why do parents make all decisions for children? But also, how can we help children choose the right high school and the right type of education? So it was really, I was super impressed with how clever and valuable these questions were from the children and the lessons that we talked to. And then another nice example took place last week, actually. We had a brainstorm with student representatives in Leiden to help interpret some new fresh statistics concerning youth perspectives on climate change. So I personally had interpreted the data as young people basically saying the climate is important as long as I don't have to give up personal comfort. But during this brainstorm session, I heard so many new perspectives, such as that young people are very willing and open to look for alternatives to their comfort, but that such alternatives are limited and also quite costly, unbefitting of a student budget, for example. And young people also felt it was somewhat unfair if they, with a relatively small carbon footprint, would be very strictly monitored or limited by law. So that was a very humbling experience for me, but also really helped to accurately formulate an answer to our research questions. So I think that's another that was another big win for open science.
Yeah, wonderful. That sounds really good. And you have such a great practices to have these kind of workshops and this kind of events or something that to involve people. But what about the benefits? What are the most valuable benefits that you have received from involving citizens and other actors in your research? You mentioned democracy, but is there something else?
Yes. So two experiences I will probably hopefully never forget. One valuable benefit was at the same time also a bit of a rude awakening. So I attended a community event in a somewhat underprivileged part of Utrecht. And when I was talking to one of the fathers there asking for advice about participant recruitment, he suddenly said, sir, we have a low SES. We are not smart enough to understand research. And he was dead serious. So that was a huge shock to me because I tried to be careful in my phrasing when describing socioeconomic differences. But nonetheless, our research findings, our conclusions that some parents, adolescents, families do worse than others, they seep into society and they create stigma in a way. Mm-hmm. So that was a very painful awakening for me. But I wouldn't want to have missed that because, I think it has made me a better person and a better researcher. On another occasion, I actually had a much more pleasant experience, so to say. I was talking to a gentleman in a library about social mobility in the Netherlands, and he told me that he grew up in a small rural village in the north of the Netherlands, a religious community. And he had always been quite curious and had also questioned the beliefs of his community. And this had often resulted in a lot of confrontations and social isolation, even sometimes, until he could go and study in Utrecht after finishing high school. So he now has a fine job with a fine income, thanks to his once despised critical thinking skills. And that sounded like a big success story to me. But I hadn't realized how much fight and effort and struggle had gone into his journey towards upward social mobility, basically. So it opened up a whole new domain of potential research questions for me. So, all right, it is really cool if talented adolescents from disadvantaged communities make it into university and get a specialized job. But at what cost? Physically, mentally, socially? That is also something that requires attention from researchers, I think. So, I will be really, it will be really fun to dive into that a little bit more in the future.
Sounds very interesting. I think your research sound very interesting, and this has been very enlightening discussion. Could you still share a few tips for researchers who maybe want to make science more tangible for broader audiences?
Yeah, use your creativity, I would say. So doing research, per definition, requires so much creativity, even though, ironically, it is one of the most structured ways of thinking and acting and coming to a solid conclusion, right? Mm. But researchers are so incredibly creative. So don't think that you don't have creativity. Find that creativity and use it. I've seen colleagues make dance performances, music, yes, drawings, paintings, songs, spoken words, entire theater shows to communicate crucial research information that otherwise would have never reached a larger audience. So some new ideas that I haven't seen yet and that others, maybe some listeners, may like is to turn your research into a recipe or to turn your research into a walking tour through a relevant part of your city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that would be really cool. But how exactly that would look in detail, I leave that up to the people listening. So another... what I really like about making science more tangible is that it is a wonderful break from our regular research work. It allows us to sit with our new knowledge in a very different way, and that can really give new perspectives and new insights in what we've learned. And in my experience, it also makes researchers so much more human and approachable. And vulnerable, that it always leads to beautiful interactions with people that you already know, but it also leads to new connections. People will reach out to you. I think that's really amazing and heartwarming. So maybe next year or in the nearby future, I can come back again for a workshop on finding your creativity and using it to make science more tangible for other audience.
Well, there is definitely something to think about. Very new and interesting ideas how to make it more tangible. Thank you. And thank you so much for taking time and joining us today.
And thank you also on my behalf. And this has been a special episode, and we will continue our podcast in Finnish next time and from a new point of view to impact also. So please remember to follow our Open Science Accelerator social media accounts. We have X and Instagram, and we will let you know there when the next episode is available.
Yes, until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.